We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Look in John chapter 4, verse 3, he referring to Jesus. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And we know in Jewish time that the first hour started at 6 a.m. in the morning, so if this was the sixth hour, then it would be 12 noon. So at high noon, it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that has said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saith that, saith thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say, Not in Jerusalem is the place, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, Why seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men. Now notice that she said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now, I want to preach this morning by the help of the Lord, if I could, here concerning this very, very familiar scripture. And I want to take a text this morning, and that text would be, there's more than water in his well. There's more than water in his well. Now, our text today presents to us a woman who is bored with life. In other words, she has been going around and around riding the merry-go-round of life, and she is worn out from head. And so she has tried drinking from every well around her, but she has left every one of those wells just as thirsty as she was when she came. And so one day Jesus showed up outside of her little town, and she meets him, and he opens her eyes to the fact that there is a new life. And boy, I want to say this to you this morning. If you're here and you're lost, I want you to know that there's a whole lot better new life that you could have if you'd only come to the Lord Jesus here this morning. And so a life, he said, this new life, a life that is free from burden, a life that is free from problems of this life that you're living right now. And so Jesus takes this weary, not unsatisfied, hardened woman, and he leads her to a place of trust. And he leads her to take a drink of the living water from the well of faith. And so as he does this, when she drinks of the Lord's water, she discovers that there's more than water in his well. And so as I thought on this text today, as I studied and prepared myself, it reminded me of where I was when the Lord found me. Do you remember where you were when the Lord found you? What kind of shape that you were in? And I remember that just like this woman. Here in these verses, I was looking for something that I did not have. And I'm persuaded to say this morning, that every person that ever gets saved is looking for something that they don't have presently. And so that's the way that every one of us was. But I was drinking from every well that I could find, but none of those wells that I was drinking from satisfied the thirst of my soul. And when I'm talking about wells, I'm talking about alcohol and all the pleasures and all these things of the world that you drink of, and those things will not satisfy you. But notice here the truth that presents himself to us here in this text. If you're saved, and I hope that everybody here this morning are saved. If you're saved, just let the Lord remind you here this morning of how good he has been to you in redeeming your soul from hell. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I would just ask you to answer him as he calls for you to come to him and drink of his water. Oh, sinner friend, would you please this morning, would you please answer him as he's knocking on your heart's door and he's calling you to come and to drink of the well of water that you shall never thirst again. And so I want you to see something here in verse 1. I want you to see first thing here in verse 6. I want you to see here the tragedy of her isolation. Now the women came to Jacob's well to draw water. But this woman did not come when all the other women came. Now the women came to draw their water very early in the morning before the sun rose and so into the sky. They came while it was still cool. And history tells us that this well that we're referring to here was about a mile from the town where these women lived. And so drawing and carrying water for this day was hot and sweaty work. I don't know whether any of you all remember that or not, but I can remember as a boy that's one of my jobs. I carried water. We had to walk about a mile to a spring and dip a bucket down in the spring and carry it back. And so, because I wasn't born with a golden spoon in my mouth, I certainly know what hard times are. But so it wasn't easy work. It wasn't easy work carrying water. And so while they were there, and I could say something here this morning, but it would get me in trouble, so I'd just soon not say it. But while they was there, they caught up on their gossip. I was going to say, like a lot of women does sometimes, they catch up on their God, but I didn't say that. I absolutely did not say that. But they caught up on their gossip, and they enjoyed just a few minutes by themselves from a society where the pressures of living in an all in a male-dominated society. And so why did this woman not come with the others? Why did she not come when all the other women come? I think you can find the answers there in verse 17 and 18. And you can see what kind of a woman she was. It shows us that she was a woman of much experience. And perhaps she had been with the men, maybe who had belonged to some of these women that were there gathering or getting water. So perhaps she was often, and I'm sure she was, I'm sure that she was often the topic of their gossip as they drew water from the well. Did you hear about her? Do you know about her? What kind of a woman that she is? So when she meets Jesus and wants to tell the people of the city that the Messiah has come, she does not go to the other women of the town. She runs to the men. Verse 28. So it seems that this woman was an outcast socially. Very evident that the women there had nothing to do with her. She was an outcast because of her lifestyle, because of what she was. And so in the course of the conversation with Jesus, he tells her that she is even isolated from God. Look at verse 20 through verse 22. You worship what you know not. And even the little worship that she managed to work into her sinful life was of no use to her spiritually. She was not only a social outcast, but she was a spiritual outcast. She was worshiping something that she didn't even know what she was worshiping. And so this is a picture of every person who is not in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because the Bible says that our sinful condition separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 said, but your iniquities or your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And not only they hear, but what a miserable condition that is to be in. To lack the ability to pray. Not only to lack the ability to pray, but lack the ability to be able to worship. Lack the ability to be able to fellowship with God. And what a horrible way to live, but you don't have to live like that. You can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ just by simply coming and saying, Lord, forgive me, a sinner, and Jesus will come into your heart and your life, and you can have that personal relationship. You can worship him, you can pray to him, and you can have that communion with him. And so, listen, they pray. Those kind of people, they pray, but God doesn't hear them. Psalm, I've talked to I don't know how many unsaved people that tell me, preacher, I pray. And I don't doubt that they don't. But look what the Bible's saying. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I know there's sin in my heart and I will not confess it and repent of it and turn from it, he says, when you pray, I will not hear you. And so here, they go to church to worship. And they cannot worship in spirit and truth because they're lost in sin. All of the religious or the worship activity is merely exercise of the flesh. God, the Bible says that God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It does not reach heaven when you're worshiping in the flesh. It does not touch the Lord. They're lost and they're isolated from God and his blessings and his salvation. Now look here. In these verses here that I read, this poor woman tries to argue religion with Jesus. How about that? Can you imagine that? This woman wants to argue religion with Jesus. She wants to reason with him. And so here, as she does at first, she sees him as just another Jew. You've been a Jew. what are you doing here? So she only sees him as a Jew, and she wants to know that she has some ideals about religion too. You may be a Jew, but I've also got some ideals about religion. And she talks about their religious differences. She said, we worship here in this mountain. You worship down in Jerusalem. And she uses sarcasm. And she uses ridicule. What are you going to draw all that water with? You don't have no bucket. She begins to ridicule him. She tries to bring up religious disputes in verse 19 and 20. In an attempt to escape the penetrating questions or statements of Jesus, she does all of this, and she tries to change the subject. I remember one man in particular that I used to visit, and I'd witness to him and try to lead him to the Lord. And whenever the Holy Spirit began to really convict him and get him under conviction and get him to see his lost condition, he'd always bring up some kind of a question. Where did Seth's wife come from? Or something like that. And since then, I never could lead him to the Lord. I hope he got saved. He's passed away since, and I don't ever know what his condition was. But he tried to bring up issues that did not pertain, just to distract, just to escape the conviction that he would enter. So through all of this, Jesus shows her just how little she knows about God, and just how little that she knows about worship, and even just how little that she knows about herself. And notice the little word in verse 10, if. If, regardless of what she thought she knew, Jesus points out to her that there's one thing that she does not know. She does not know who Jesus is, and that is the main thing. Is that not right? She did not know who Jesus was. And Jesus tells her, if she only knew, she could ask Jesus for living water, and she would be forever satisfied. Left to herself, this woman might have died thinking that she was all right spiritually, because she was worshiping something. She had some kind of worship. So if she'd been left by herself, she'd probably went on in that condition and died. But thank God, when Jesus reached out to her here in this darkness, he dispelled her ignorance here about himself, about the way of salvation. Now somebody, and older folks used to say, and I'm one of those older folks now, but those older folks used to say, and I can remember Mama telling me I'd want to know something. She didn't want me to know it. What they were was, she'd say, what you don't know won't hurt you. You heard that saying? Yeah, what you don't know won't hurt you. But I have thought about that and say this. What you don't know can send you to hell.
Yes.
What you don't know can send you to hell. Far too many people are living in ignorance of how to get to God. And so many are like this woman in her text. They know enough about church, and they know enough about Christianity to be in danger to themselves. There are many things about the Bible, about theology, that you may never learn. I'm sure they are. There are going to be a lot of things about this blessed book that I have here before me that I will never learn, or you will never learn in this lifetime. They are so much contained within the backs of the scripture. Not knowing them will not keep you out of heaven, nor will not knowing them send you to hell. But if you miss the main thing, you'll never see heaven, and you'll go to that awful place called hell. If you'd miss Jesus, if you miss him, you will, because here it is. What is the main thing, preacher? Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Not on anybody else. Believe on Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. That's the main thing. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Many will die and go to hell from the pews of Baptist churches just like this one, because they miss Jesus. They learned how to go to church. They learned how to go to Sunday school. They even learned how to give their tithes. They even learned what kind of Bible to use. They learned how to turn over a new leaf. They learned how to live a clean life. They learned many, many things, but they never learned the truth that salvation comes only through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They never learned that salvation is by grace through faith. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. That simply means that you cannot do one thing to save yourself. No matter how good you live or what you do, you cannot save yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here was a woman with a checkered past, living a wicked life, yet she feels that she's qualified to argue religion with the Lord Jesus Christ. She demonstrates here a clear picture of hypocrisy in action. Now, people attempt to do this same kind of thing today. Everybody thinks that they're qualified to argue with God. But listen to what the Word of God says. Listen, they think and they say, well, I think this or that about salvation. They say, I believe it's this way, or I believe it's that way. And they say such things about, I know what the Bible says. If you talk like that, what foolishness. Right. What foolishness that who do we think that, who does a person that talk like that, who do they think they are? Did you know today that it does not matter what I think or what you think about salvation and how to get saved? Did it ever occur to you or it ever crossed your mind that God's Word is not up for debate? It's not up for debate. Not up to what you think or what I think. It's forever settled in heaven. God's Word is. And so here's the bottom line. God said it. Now here is what some people used to say. And I even used to say it too. I thought it was something. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But you know, I want to leave that second part out. God said it, and that settles it. It don't make any difference whether I believe it or not. God said it, and that settles it. Is that not right? Don't matter whether I believe it or not. Don't matter whether you believe it or not. Don't matter whether some teacher of theology believes it or not. It don't matter if some of the college presidents believe it or not. Don't matter. It's forever settled in heaven. He's already told us that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm the way. Without the way, there's no going. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Without the truth, there's no knowing. Jesus said, I'm the life. Without the life, there's no living. There's no way. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. And so there, that's the main thing. And she was missing. She was worshiping something, but she was missing. And look here what the scripture said. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's no other name, only the name of Jesus. And so he made his plan of salvation very clear. If you want to be right and go to heaven when you die, then you'll do it God's way. If I want to go to heaven when I die, I'm going to do it God's way. It's the only way to go to heaven. If you want to remain lost and spend eternity in hell, then you go ahead and do it your way. And you say, now preacher, that may sound very narrow to you. And I intended for it to sound very narrow to you because Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen. And I don't want you to miss heaven. Come on. I won't want you to go to hell. God did not leave this thing open to debate. But he clearly, precisely stated how things are and it's settled. Argue it if you will, but it'll do you no good. Besides, who are we to argue with him? Look what Romans 9:20 said. Nay, but O man, who art thou that thou repliest against God? Shall the thing formed? We're the thing formed. God formed man. He should say, the thing formed, say to him say to God that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? How foolish it is for us who God made to look at God and question God and say, why did you make me like you did? That's foolish. That's foolish. Why should the one that's been made say to the maker? And so here we see this. And so besides, we're not to argue with him. Then I wanted to see the second thing, a tenured Savior. The Bible tells us that he must need go through Samaria. He must need to go through Samaria. Most Jews went miles out of their way to go around Samaria to avoid coming into contact with them. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They were considered to be an inferior race because they were descendants from Jews who had intermarried with Gentiles that had been placed in the land by the Assyrians. And so thank God, and I thank God so many times, that God does not operate on the agenda of men.
Amen.
He didn't care about the Samaritan's heritage.
Amen.
He did not care about the hatred that the Jews had for the Samaritans. He did not care about the racial lines drawn by ignorant men. He operates in the realm of grace. Jesus went to that place and he sat on that well because what? He wanted to save this woman. He wanted to save this woman. As I said last week about Zacchaeus, before God ever created Adam out of the dust of the earth, he knew that this woman was going to be coming by this well in Samaria, and she was going to need to be saved, and he was going to be there for her and lead her to himself. Even his disciples were shocked by what Jesus was doing. Look there in verse 27. What's he doing? What's he having fellowship with her for? What in the world? If Jesus had acted like any other Jew, he would have passed by this woman, and she and her town, he would have never went there. But he extended grace to them, and he brought salvation to Sychar. Now you listen to me. Think about it. If you and I get what we deserved, we would have never got a second look from God.
Amen.
If we'd have got what we deserved. I don't deserve heaven.
No.
None of us sitting here this morning deserve. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you or offend you.
Come on.
But we're just all old guilty sinners.
Right.
But you listen to what this preacher says. Praise God. One Sunday night in 1974, Jesus said, I must need go through Britaintown. That's where I was at. Just in a marriage and it was falling apart. We both was as miserable as we could be. And we was ready to file the papers. And everything that was wrong in our marriage was just simply because we was trying to make it work without Jesus.
Right.
And it just would not work.
Right.
And Jesus said there's going to be a young man over there by the name of Oscar McCamus. That's going to, I want him to be saved. So Jesus passed through there that night, knocked on my heart's door, and said, wouldn't you like for the storm in your life to be calmed? And I said, oh, yes, I do. And before I knew it, I was on my feet, making my way to the altar. And when I got up, Pam was on the other side of the altar. And I ain't going to stand here and tell you this morning that we never had any problems. We never had any fusses or we never had any fights. And like we were just like everybody else. One thing that's sure about it, we can work it out through the Lord Jesus Christ.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.